Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to WellFit Radio Chicago, brought to you by Momentum Fitness and Health. Let us help you find yours. You have questions about health, fitness, and nutrition, and we have the answers. We are live streaming on blogtalkradio.com as well as on our Facebook page, Momentum Fitness and Health. Listen live or archived at any time. My name is Jason Venkis, and I am an award-winning and published certified personal trainer, health coach, and fitness nutrition specialist. And, of course, we are in Chicago. So, congratulations to our Chicago Cubs. Of course, I would love to be at that parade right now, but I am here with you today because of my commitment to you and to my clients. Thank you for joining us today. And if you're ever looking for any helpful videos on nutrition or on fitness, go to findingyourmomentum.com. So the average American family eats out 4 to 5 times per week. Now this is lunches, this is dinners, this is all of it. 4 to 5 times per week. This means that others are preparing your food for you, and you are not in control of what is going into your mouth or onto your waistline. Now growing portion sizes and questionable ingredients are contributing to America's obesity problem. Now stay tuned right here today to find out the astounding facts, figures, and how you can get organized at home. So learn why cooking at home is going to save you money, but also save you on food and on medical costs as well. The first thing that you need to understand is how portion sizes have grown over the last 25 years. And I do this game with a lot of my clients. Called portion distortion, and it demonstrates just how much these portions have grown over the last 25 years in terms of eating out. So you're not going to get the graphics, but let's run down a few of those items really quick and piece together a day of eating and drinking and find out how many more calories we're consuming today than we were 25 years ago. Now, coffee, used to go get a cup of coffee, it was 8 ounces. And it had whole milk and sugar. And even with that, it only had 45 calories in it. Not a whole lot, right? 45 calories for a cup of coffee. Now, let's look at what we tend to buy more now. Now, the standard is pretty much to get a mocha or something that's spiced or has whipped cream or sprinkles or, well, it's November, so why not toss a gingerbread man into your cup of coffee? So, looking at a mocha with whole milk, in the syrup, your standard is about 16 ounces, so double the size, and 350 calories. So that's a difference of 305 calories just in the coffee alone. Now let's say you have a muffin with your coffee. This is pretty standard breakfast, believe it or not. Coffee and a muffin. Now a muffin used to be 1.5 ounces. Pretty small, 1.5 ounces, but still packed in 210 calories. But now, today, your standard muffin is 4 ounces, much bigger. Think of those Otis Spunkmeyer muffins and how big they are. And they're coming in at 500 calories. Your morning breakfast just went from being 300 calories, and all you're having is coffee and a muffin, all the way up to 850. And that's just the difference in the last 25 years on the portion sizes in what we're actually having. You know, your coffee is now a mocha, and it's double the size and has whipped cream and sprinkles and everything else in it, and shots of syrup. And your muffin went from being 210 calories to 500 calories. So that's 850 calories just at breakfast time. So how about a snack at the office? And guess what? Marty brought in cookies. So a cookie used to be 1.5 inches in diameter. Pretty small. Again, 1.5 inches in diameter. Probably think about the ones that came in the little blue tin, the Royal Dansk or whatever they're called, those types of cookies. Now they're 3.5 inches in diameter and 275 calories. 275 calories for one cookie. One cookie comes in at almost 300 calories. And don't be fooled, Subway, your cookies are 210 calories. Yes, 210 calories for a Subway cookie, the healthy restaurant. Let's say that you, it's lunchtime, and you're like, I'm going to go the healthy route. I'm going to get me a chicken Caesar salad. What could be better than that, right? It's nice and healthy, a chicken Caesar salad. Now, 25 years ago, your portion size for a chicken Caesar salad was a cup and a half and 390 calories. That's a pretty good size lunch, in my opinion, depending on how active you are, right? Now, a standard chicken Caesar salad is 3.5 cups in size and 790 calories. 790 calories for a salad. For a salad. So, it starts to add up, doesn't it? All right, so let's say you make it all the way to dinner time without a snack, and you didn't have time to prep dinner last night, which we'll talk about a little bit later, and you were stuck at the office, so Chinese takeout it is, right? One serving of chicken stir fry, why not? Chicken, veggies, great. Used to be 2 cups and be 435 calories. So not a whole lot, but now your standard serving size of chicken stir fry is 4.5 cups. They're huge, and it's 865 calories. So many people need something sweet after dinner as well to feel full. And it's a pretty normal thing. You can use things like fruits and vegetables and stuff like that, sweet vegetables, to take care of that. But let's say you have a piece of cheesecake. 25 years ago, a slice of cheesecake was 3 ounces. Not very big. 3 ounces, but still 260 calories. That's almost a mini meal in some places. That's more than a snack, right? Now, they're drizzled with chocolate and infused with Snickers bars. And they're 7-ounce slices. They're not little anymore. 7-ounce slices at 640 calories. Now, if you want to look this stuff up, go to CalorieKing.com and type in any of this stuff. Type in, especially go to the Cheesecake Factory. Don't look at their salads. You think that chicken Caesar salad at 790 was a lot? They have salads at the Cheesecake Factory that are 1,200 calories. 1,200. For some people, that's like 60% of their calories for the day or more. So, 25 years ago, if you had eaten the serving sizes that I first mentioned, the lower ones, you'd have 1,450 calories. This even gives you some room for some fruits and some vegetables, which you notice we didn't have a lot of fruits and vegetables. I mean, we did have a salad, but we didn't really have a banana or an apple or anything like that. It was basically a lot of junk food when it comes down to it. Because, again, we're eating out, not eating at home. Now, today, by today's standards, in today's serving sizes, your caloric intake for the day would be 3,420 calories. So if you had your coffee and your muffin and you had your big cookie and you had your chicken Caesar salad and you had your stir fry and sliced cheesecake, you're staring down at 3,420 calories. That's almost a 2,000 calorie difference from 25 years ago based on portion sizes alone. Now, we always want to get more for our money, right? So we think bigger portion sizes is better. You might be getting more for your money when it comes to your food, but now, how much are you spending on weight loss products? How much are you spending on, you know, being sick and managing things like diabetes and stuff like that? There's a trade-off there, right? And now 3,400 calories, like, there's no way people eat that on a daily basis. That's very, very far-fetched. Well, according to a 2014 study that was published by Evoke.ie, which is a health website, Americans top the charts for daily caloric intake at 3,770 calories per day. So there's the research out there that shows that we as a society, as in America, consume more calories per day than anybody else. Now keep in mind that calories here are a unit of energy. That's what calories are. When you hear calories, it's a unit of energy, like fuel. You need so many gallons of gas to get your car from point A to point B. You need so many units of food or calories to get your body from point A when you wake up in the morning to point B when you actually wake up again the next morning. So, and whatever doesn't get used gets stored as fat. And then if it gets stored as fat, then it leads to other chronic illnesses, up to and including diabetes, which, as you've heard me talk before, costs about $13,000, $7,900 out of pocket to treat, basically. And I'm sorry, not even to treat, just to manage it. Treating it, just listen to me, and you'll treat your diabetes. Type 2 diabetes, let's be specific there. Now, let's kind of put this caloric needs into perspective here. So a 6-foot man who's 200 pounds and 45 years old needs approximately 3,000 calories to maintain body weight if they have a low active lifestyle. That means they're actually going to the gym somewhat. And at 3,000 calories, they would maintain their body weight. So that means, that means that they work out a couple times a week. Now, let's put it in perspective for a 5-foot, 145-pound, 30-year-old active female. She needs 2,450 calories just to maintain. Okay? Well, at 3,400 calories per person, that man would gain a pound per week, and the female would gain almost 2 pounds per week. Well, I exercise. I can eat what I want. No, that's the worst thing you can tell yourself. The absolute worst thing you can tell yourself is that I exercise, I can eat what I want, because it doesn't balance out. To burn that extra 2,000 calories from 25 years ago, from the difference in the portion sizes, would take the average person 13.3 miles per day. 13.3 miles per day, not per week. You're not running 13, you're running a half marathon every day to make up for the food, the portion sizes of that food. Now, I'm not even getting into like healthy selection and stuff like that. I'm kind of getting there. I'm just talking about the sheer caloric expenditure and the size of our portions. But now when you cook at home, this allows you to A, control the ingredients, and B, control the portion sizes of your meal. So you can make them smaller. You don't have to eat everything that's put in front of you. And I'm going to talk to you about that a little bit here. Now, by cooking at home, you're going to know exactly what goes into your food and how much. So from quality to quantity. So your dishes that you're making at home might end up having less calories in them just by default because you're putting less oil in them, per se, as an example. And I'm going to get to that, too. So the biggest problem with the restaurant is the amount of oil and the types of oil that they use in their dishes. That's what causes a lot of these problems. Now, we've been told that not all fat and not all oils are bad for us, and that is true, but that does not mean that if a little is good, more must be better. Because when it comes down to it, oils, yes, are still fat and still come in at higher calories. Okay, and it's still going to contribute to your waistline, whether it's a good calorie or a bad calorie. All right, so you do have to make that distinction there. So, however, a lot of the oils that are considered healthy aren't cheap. So why would a restaurant, especially a fast food restaurant, use oils that are cheap? So restaurants aren't going to use the expensive stuff. Especially your fast food restaurants, they're going to use your cheaper oils. And I'm sorry for the private group, but I keep having to adjust the camera. There we go, because it keeps sliding down. Now, most French fries, getting back to the oils here, especially in your fast food restaurants, most French fries served in the U.S. restaurants are immersed in a corn-based oil, usually considered the worst oil for human health and usually partially hydrogenated. No, and that's even before they're fried. Yeah, they get coated in oil and then they get fried. And this is according to the authors of a new study. Now, corn oil contains copious amounts of saturated fat, known to contribute to heart disease. Now, there's some debate about it, about saturated fat. It's generally recommended to get some, but again, just from your French fries, you're getting copious amounts of saturated fat, so probably over your limit there. Now, this type of oil is also low in monounsaturated fat, so you're not getting some of your really good fats. And most Americans need more of that, and then high in polyunsaturated fat, which in too large of quantities can actually lower your HDL or your good cholesterol, along with your bad cholesterol. Now, this is according to a registered dietitian and director of the Wellness Life Program at the Brooklyn Hospital Center in New York City. Her name is Karen Congrow. Right? Now, again, on top of that, these oils are partially or even fully hydrogenated. But what does that mean? Well, they basically add a hydrogen atom to the fat to make it more shelf-stable. However, it causes a problem for us in our bodies. Trans fats and hydrogenated fats may interfere with the ability of the cells of the body to metabolize the fats that are good for you, and they can end up leading to weight gain because your body is not metabolizing those other good fats that you're consuming. Now, on top of that, as well, it's the amount of oil used in a lot of these dishes as well. So getting even just past the French fries, even if they're using, say, the good oils, using olive oil, how much are they using? So this is a problem even with these healthier olive oils. Again, it's that one tablespoon has just 120 calories added to your dish. One tablespoon. Measure out one tablespoon. If you want to go do it right now, go do it right now. I'll wait. Go measure one tablespoon, or just pull out one tablespoon, and then dump it into the pan, and look at how much that really actually is. Now, when you do a pour, are you actually pouring out one or two tablespoons, or do you think you're probably actually pouring out more? But if you cook at home, you can control this, as well as sugar and other ingredients from going into your food. Now, an older study found that that when pouring from a smaller bottle of oil, pours were 30% smaller than from the larger bottles, the bigger bottles. So in restaurants, they don't buy the little bottles. Why would they? They buy in bulk. They got to buy the big stuff, the cheap stuff, right? It's all about cutting costs and profit margins, right? Watch the profit. I watch a lot of it. I understand. Now, when people cook most of their meals at home, they consume fewer carbohydrates, less sugar, and less fat than they normally would if they were to cook less or not at all. Even if they're not trying to lose weight, even if they're just cooking at home to cook at home. One of my clients was eating this potato soup. And this potato soup used a heavy cream base, and like a cup of it was like 400 calories. Well, I showed them a way to make it without having that cream base, and I took their 400-calorie soup, and I cut it down to 180 calories for a cup, okay? And they're making that at home now. So when they're making it at home, as opposed to buying either the store-bought or the restaurant-bought, they know what's going into it. People who eat at home or who eat home-cooked meals most nights a week consume up to 140 calories less in a day than those who rely on, like, ready-made meals. We're not even talking about restaurants, right? And that amounts to 50,000 calories in 1 year. And that's the equivalent of 14 pounds. Think about that. 100 calories over what your body needs per day for an entire year is 10 pounds worth of weight gain. So, and that last statistic was according to Johns Hopkins University study. Now, at home, you can also control your portion sizes. Now, I've already mentioned the numbers on portion sizes at restaurants, right? We've seen that we're consuming 2,000 calories more now than we were 25 years ago. You know, some of the things you can do to control your portion sizes are that you can just measure out your portions using a measuring cup, or make sure if you are going to buy something that's prepackaged, read the labels. That's big, reading the labels, because we don't realize sometimes that we're consuming 3 or 4 servings or something. I mean, look at a bag of like Trader Joe's, you know, fried rice. It might be 3 servings. If you ate the whole bag, take those numbers on the back, multiply it by 3. For more on reading labels, go find our video at findingyourmomentum.com on how to properly read labels. So again, you can measure that out. Try following a recipe that will give you nutritional data, and then when you measure it out, you'll know exactly how many calories you're getting. You know, at least for the first few times, and measure accurately the first few times. After a while, you might start to be able to eyeball things and kind of get an idea for it. If a serving is one cup, measure one cup into your plate or bowl. Again, measure it. You don't have to, I know it's tedious, you're not going to have to do this forever. Just measure it for now, right? Just to give it a shot. I lost my place. But you're going to get a good idea of serving size and just how many calories are actually going into your body. Use smaller dishware. That's a big one. Use smaller dishware and leave your leftovers in the other room. So think about that for a minute. You're gonna go into the kitchen. Let's say you're eating in the dining room or living room, as most of us do. But you have to go into the kitchen, right? Grab a smaller plate, smaller bowl, fill that as opposed to a bigger plate, right? So you're automatically already going to eat less. You might sit there for a minute before you get up. You might be talking. You might be watching TV, even though, you know. So you might be doing all this other stuff, and it's going to give that food a chance to digest in your system, and now you've already eaten enough, and you're full. Simple, right? Use smaller dishware, leave the leftovers in the other room. You actually have to get up to go get them. So if you can fit less in your plate, you're going to eat less. Some dishes that you can make that are lower in calories, just as a general rule, and they're also easy to control the portion sizes and ingredients, are things like broth-based soups. You know, this may not seem very filling, but if you add lots of veggies and especially greens and some beans, you're going to end up with a very, very fiber-full dish that's going to keep you fuller longer. Now, these also freeze very well, so you can make it in large batches and store it. So if you're time-crunched, all you got to do is defrost it. Salads are easy, and as well as other vegetable dishes. Raw veggies and greens keep very well in the fridge, so if you make a large bowl of salad, keep it in the fridge. If people do it with their keys, or if they do it with the candy bowl, then why not do it with a salad? Grab a handful and go. Add any oil-free dressing or use a moderate amount of your oil-based dressings that are using good oils like olive oil. Try and stay away from the canola oils if you can. They are overly processed. The calorie count is going to come out the same on canola oil as it does on vegetable oil, but you're getting a better quality ingredient with extra virgin olive oil. And you got to be careful with that, too. That's a whole other show on fake olive oil. Look it up. Vegetable and rice dishes. These often freeze well and can also be made in large batches. So you want to be making stuff that you can put in large batches and store it. It's going to save you time later. Now, remember that I said many restaurants use liquid margarine on their grilled chicken. Did you know that? Oh, I went to McDonald's. I got the grilled chicken. Well, it's coated in liquid margarine, so it's really not helping you any. One thing that I used to do before going vegetarian was that I would either bake or I would grill batches of chicken breasts on Sunday. It was my day off, so that I had them almost all week because they'll keep 3, maybe 4 days before you want to toss out that chicken. So then you can then in turn you can use them quickly. You can either chop them up to put them in that salad that you just made. You can put them in the rice and veggies that you just made, or into a stir fry that you make on a special night or something like that. So these are some of the things that you can do to, you know, cook at home. And yes, it does take more time. It does take more time to cook at home. I get that. I do. And it is a commitment to your health. But if it's important to you, you will take the time. I'm not going to say make the time, but you will take the time if it's important to you. Think about the things that are important to you that you take the time for. This needs to be one of them. And one of the best pieces of advice that I can give is to designate a prep day, a day which you do all your prep work for the week. Cook your rice, chop your veggies, cook your meal so that you just have to reheat them. There's a big thing going on right now with crock pot meals. Prep a bunch of stuff, put them in freezer bags and then put them in the freezer. And then all you have to do is put them in a warm pot full of warm crock pot full of water, and it cooks out for you. And it stores. Again, it stores. So that's a big thing that's going on right now. Do all that stuff. So all you have to do is heat it up later. Assemble your casseroles, anything that you're going to make. But on the flip side of it too, make it a family event. If one of the things that is keeping you from being able to cook all the time is, hey, you know, the kids, get them involved. Get them involved, especially if you have picky eaters. And it doesn't just have to be your kids, it could be your spouse. If you got picky eaters or certain things that they can or cannot eat, food allergies, get them involved so that they can be part of the process and part of the decision making. It's going to bring the family together. You're going to talk more and you're going to have time with your family, and you're all going to have meals that you can eat together that you like. And that's another part of it too. So cooking has become a lost art form, and we need to bring that back. We really need to bring back cooking as an art form in our homes, in our homes. Now, if you're really, 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 really crunched for time, there are companies that can help you with the prep work as well. Now, I have clients here in Chicago that use MeezMeals.com, M-E-E-Z, Meals, with an S, .com. And that's here in Chicago. They do deliver within 1,000 miles, but they do, you choose off their menu, they prep it for you, they pack it, and they give you a recipe card. So if you don't want gluten, click on that. You can set your preferences that you don't need gluten, or you're allergic to nuts, or you don't like certain cheeses, or you don't like spicy. And when you click off their menu, they send you everything prepped. All you really have to do is cook it and eat it. Most of the recipes take about 25 minutes to make or less, because your sauces are done, your veggies are chopped, and your meats, tofu, whatever it is, they're all seasoned for you. So if you've never used them before, you can get a $30 code, $30 savings off of your first order by using promo code MOMENTUM, that's our name. And the best part is there's no subscription. So things like Blue Apron, stuff like that, you have to subscribe, and they don't prep everything. They just send you food that you have to chop up yourself. But there is no subscription. You order when you want, so that's cool. So again, go get your $30 worth of free food. Again, MeezMeals.com. I'll put all the information in the bottom down here when I can get to editing the video later. So just to reiterate, we're running out of time. We got 2 minutes. I pushed it today because this is a very, very important topic. So that's why I took more time with it. But just to reiterate, eating at home can save you calories and extra weight gain of up to 14 pounds, of at least 14 pounds a year. At least 14 pounds a year. More if you really, really are active and into it. So take time. Don't make time. Take time and make cooking at home a priority for you and your family. Get them involved. Make it a family thing. Bond. For God's sakes, bond. And share it with your neighbors like we do at our food exchange. They can make it even better. You only have to make one meal, and then you can eat for 4 days because you exchange with four neighbors, right? So should you need some healthy recipes or cooking tips, come find us on Facebook at Momentum Fitness and Health. And should you need a place that preps your, you know, a couple meals a week for you, visit MeezMeals.com and use that promo code if you are within 1,000 miles of Chicago. It's all local and organic as well, so that's pretty cool. So, again, I'll put that info in the comment card, or in the comment card, in the comments below once I can get to editing. Thank you for joining me, and I hope that this really resonated with you, and I hope that this makes sense. You can always come find us on Facebook. You can always find us on the website. You can put something right here in the comments now if you're watching the video. Oh, that was my 90 seconds. So join me next week as I'm going to tell you why crunches may be hurting you more than helping you. So until next time, I hope that you can find your momentum. That's all.